I'm thinking that Jesus got really excited when they asked him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. It was like this eureka moment. Oh, they're finally starting to get it. They're asking a good question. And so he gives them two answers, really. He gives them what to pray and how to pray. The Lord's Prayer, what we come to know as the Lord's Prayer, or what our Catholic brothers and sisters call the Our Father, which I love that, and I'll tell you why in a second. But and then the second thing he does is tell them to pray persistently. Be persistent. Be shameless is actually the word. Be shameless in your prayer. Come to God. Come to God. Come to God. So great questions. So first is this what we have called the Lord's Prayer. The reason I like the Our Father is this, because and though in Luke it doesn't have it, it just says, Father, hallowed be your name. But you know in Matthew it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The idea of our Father is that I think that the church was in its wisdom followed Matthew more than Luke on this one, because maybe the church knew that we were going to fall into this kind of individualism where it's me and God, right? You know, it's just me and God together and nobody else. Not so. The first word of the most important prayer that we know is our. It's us. Together. So that instead of thinking individually, we're thinking ecclesially, church-wise. So that it's the church that is always praying. And maybe even Matthew's church had a little problem like we had years ago with dueling prayers in church. Some of you were around for that. Yeah, I got to see some heads nodding, right? Where, oh boy, it was something. Someone would pray for one thing that was maybe... I think the Iraqi war, not the most recent one, but the one before that. And they're praying for the troops to keep them safe. And then somebody else had to pray. Yes, and pray for the people who were in their harm's way and the children who were going to suffer and this. And it just went back and forth. And it was, you know, it was just, and I just went, I came from North Carolina for this? But I did. And the interesting thing about it was this. We never did get everybody on the same page politically. That's not how we fixed it. You know how we fixed it? We looked at the liturgy. And we said, what do we say after every single prayer that is offered up? Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Now, you didn't say it right. Hear our prayer. Huh? Because the prayer is coming up from this body. God isn't saying when he hears a prayer, hey, wait a minute. And this is another thing that happened. People would not say, hear our prayer, when they didn't agree with the prayer. That's how bad it was getting. This is all a foretaste of how things really deteriorated in our time, right? So, no, we won't say that. But no, of course. God is listening to our prayers from this body. And God isn't saying, hey, wait a minute. The finger didn't say, hear our prayer, or the arm didn't say, hear our prayer. Wait a minute, that must not be good. No, this was ours. And what I said to people is we are all indicted in every prayer that is offered here. It's our prayer. And after a while, people got to get, oh, this is our prayer. And soon what happened was that the prayers stopped being dueling prayers, and we started getting these thanksgiving prayers. Prayers for the elders in our congregation who have kept the faith over the years in this congregation. Oh, and prayers for the new people who have come in and brought new ideas into the congregation. Instead of being dueling prayers, they were prayers of thanksgiving because they were our prayers. So, in the Lord's Prayer, that first word, our Father, it could be called, instead of being called the Our Father, it could be the sibling prayer. The recognition that we are all brothers and sisters before God. No matter what we hold, politically or economically or whatever. So, the first thing, our Father. hallowed be your name. That idea that the name holds, the name of God in the Hebrew tradition, in the Jewish tradition, you don't even say the word. Instead, you supply the word Lord. But oftentimes, most of the time when you hear, "O Lord," it's the holy name of God, which is too holy to even say. Because it's powerful. And it works. The name of God goes out in power. And the wisdom was, you know, we probably ought not to say it because we're not careful enough. We might use it in a way that will be harmful rather than good. And so, hallowed be your name. May it be among us hallowed and honored and revered and respected. May we be a people who know how to honor and revere and respect the name of God and the name of our neighbors and our brothers and sisters. Thy kingdom come, Luke says. Jesus says in Luke, let your kingdom come, O God. And remember, this is my favorite thing about Martin Luther. He says, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we pray your kingdom come, God, we are asking God to come and get rid of the kingdoms we have established amongst ourselves. And you all know what I'm talking about, right? All the different places where we have control, the places where we think we are in charge, and we're saying, God, take that away from us. We like it, but it isn't good for us. So you take it away from us. And give us this day our daily bread. And I think that part of it has to do with how many of us actually worry about our daily bread. And when, if you don't have to worry about your daily bread, you can get the sense that God isn't the one giving us our bread every day. And so this prayer helps us to remember that we are like Israel in the wilderness, dependent on God every day for the manna that we are given, even though it doesn't look like it sometimes. Because we can go to the grocery store and buy a week's worth of groceries. Still, it is God's gift to us to sustain us in our life. Beautiful. We pray this. We even pray, give us this day our daily bread with borrowed breath. It's all from God. It's all a gift from God. So when we pray that, we remember that it is all a gift. And then, this one. I forget which of the church fathers, it might have been Athanasius, but anyway, in his congregation, he's praying, and forgive us our trespasses because we forgive those who trespass against us. One of them, in their congregation went silent when it came to that part of the petition. And he was delighted. He said, I have a group of honest people who have integrity. Because you didn't want to pray that prayer. Do you want to be forgiven as you have forgiven others? And they said, no. They were like, I don't know about that one. Right? But it is the prayer of, we want to be a part of kingdom, God's kingdom coming. That's how God's kingdom comes. It comes by the power of forgiveness. Letting go of any of our hostilities, letting go of any of our what people owe to us. No more vengeance, no more hostility, no more revenge. Forgiveness is the way of the kingdom. You want to enter into the kingdom of heaven? You can start taking a few little steps and do this radical thing. Forgive somebody today. The kingdom of God will come near. So, all of that, and deliver us from evil. The one thing I'm going to say about that is, it's not... Jesus defines sin as that from which we are being delivered. Not that which we have to be scared of, but that from which we are being delivered. That's the definition. of sin and evil. God's already got it. Yes, there is evil in the world. It does not have the power that we often give it. Jesus says, evil is the thing from which we are being delivered every day by God. Think about that. Think about how much we get distressed about all the evil in the world. And Jesus says, yeah, that's what you're going to get delivered from. That's what I'm delivering the whole world from. In its time, it will be. So, how you pray, the Lord's Prayer. I mean, what you pray is the Lord's Prayer. Interestingly, never mind, I won't talk about that. The other thing that he does is he talks about how to pray. And he tells the story about going and knocking on the guy's door and asking for bread and all that. And it's like this persistence, like Abraham, right? Wait a minute. What if there's 50 people, right? Righteous people? What if there's 45? How about 40? 30? 20? 10? Aaron said, one? Yeah. That's this incredible persistence. Come, go back to God. Go back to God. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. This is just this enthusiasm. I think this is part of Jesus' enthusiasm, right? About this whole thing. Yeah, do it. But then here's the question. How many of you have done that? Asked, sought, knocked, and didn't get what you wanted? Right? Yeah. All right. So what's going on here? I want to say that every time, it feels like every time that happens, we either feel guilty because we didn't pray right. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or angry because God didn't live up to God's promise, right? Or frustrated, any of these things, right? So that this whole thing about praying earnestly and seeking and asking and knocking, all that stuff, it can really be a setup. But look at what Jesus says at the end. You who are evil, and I think he's making kind of a joke. It's like, you ne'er-do-wells can give your children good gifts. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So what Jesus is really saying is, ask, seek, knock, the Holy Spirit of God will be given to you. Not necessarily the specific thing that you're asking for, but this is much better. The Spirit of God itself. That will be given to you. That's the great gift that Jesus is encouraging us to ask for. So several years ago, many years ago, I was pastoring in North Carolina, and there was a couple, Paul and Claudette Kelly. And Paul Kelly was very ill. And Claudette was this strong, quiet, prayerful woman. And she continued to pray for her husband, who was sick and dying. And she kept saying, please, please, bring healing. And I'd ask Claudette, I said, how's Paul doing? And she'd say, he's doing, and I'm praying. And I'd say, okay, and I'm joining you in it. And prayed and prayed and prayed. And one day she calls and she says, Pastor, Paul's got to go to Paul's being taken to the hospital. And so I said, okay, I'll be there. I met him at the hospital as they were walking across the driveway, the parking lot into the hospital. She says to me, Pastor, I think we lost him. And we go in, and we're in the waiting room, and they asked me to come back, and in fact, Paul had died. And they wanted me to be there when the family came in, so then they let the family in. And I was sitting, but the whole time I was in there with Paul's body, I was thinking, what am I going to say to this woman who has taken Jesus seriously and asked and sought and knocked constantly for years. And she didn't get what she wanted, what she had asked earnestly for. What am I going to tell her? Well, of course, she and her whole family come in, and they're wailing and keening, and they're hugging Paul, and everybody's done that. And then Claudette says to me, "Pastor, I think it's time for you to say a prayer of thanksgiving. A prayer of thanksgiving." I was like, "Oh, wow. That's what I needed to say. That's what I have to offer." She gave it to me. I was asking, seeking, knocking on God's door saying, "Please give me the right words." Well, yeah, Claudette gave it to me. The spirit of Jesus, the spirit of thankfulness. And he said a prayer of thankfulness. And it was beautiful. That's what I think Jesus is talking about. Ask, seek, knock. You will be given what you need. You will be given the spirit of Jesus himself. The spirit that is so confident in God that he would hand his life over and go to the grave, confident that God would raise him up again. That's the spirit that we are praying for. I'm a slow learner. So every week at the food bank, there's a woman who comes by, and she's got two bad knees and bad insurance. And she can't work, and she can barely walk. And she keeps telling me week after week. And she's trying to get lawyers to help her, and she's trying everything she can, but nothing's working. And it finally dawned on me, and she says every week, "Oh, I'm suffering so, these knees, they just can't, I can't walk. There's a lot of pain." So this last Tuesday, she said that whole same thing again, and I'm trying to work the problem, right, like we try to do. And she drives past, and I'm going home, and it dawns on me, oh, wait a minute. I know what I'm supposed to be giving her. I'm supposed to be praying. I'm supposed to give her the prayer. "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, you suffered for the sake of the world. Add my suffering to yours and transform it for the healing of all." The Holy Spirit of God, like, "Hey, wake up. Wake up. You've got this. It's in you. I've already given this to you. Now give it to her." The spirit of unity with Christ. I think that's exactly what Jesus is telling us to pray for. Be united with me in my confident faith in God, in my willingness to accept suffering, in my capacity to transform suffering into hope and healing. So, pray these words and pray it fervently and expect that the Holy Spirit of God and the kingdom of heaven will be among you. Amen.